A reading from John 14. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may also be. And you know the way to the place where I am going. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people. Thanks be to God.
There are days of taking more than I can give. And there are choices that I've made that I wouldn't make again. I've had my share of laughter, of tears and troubled times. This has been the story of my life. I have won, and I have lost. I got it right sometimes, but sometimes I did not. Life's been a journey, I've seen joy, I've seen regret. Oh, and you have been my God through all of it. Blinded by my fear, and I struggled to believe. But in those unclear moments, you were there, keeping me strong. This has been my story all along. And I have won, and I have lost. I got it right sometimes. Sometimes I did not. Life's been a journey. I've seen joy, I've seen regret. Oh, and you have been my God through all of it. Through all of it. Yeah, yeah. And this is who you are, more constant than the stars up in the sky. All these years, all my life, I look back and I see you, and right now I still do, and I'm always going to. I have won. Got it right sometimes, but sometimes I did not. Life's been a journey. I've seen joy, I've seen regret. Oh, and you have been my God through all of it. And you have been my God through all of it. Oh, and you have been my through all of it.
And all God's people said amen.
Amen.
Amen. This morning we continue our summer sermon series, Crossflix, Discovering Faith in Film. During the summer, we're examining films from all genres, documentary, classic, award-winning, animated, and discovering where faith intersects with film so that then we in turn can share with those around us who may not be tending toward the religious a way of sharing our faith because they might be open to values that are part of this congregation that they might not have thought of. Next week, I'll be preaching on the film Moonlight, which you can view at our Harmony Toluca Lake campus this coming Wednesday at 7. And following worship next Sunday, we will have a talk back with the actor Ashton Sanders from that film. He's in the second of the triad in that film. So I hope you will come and bring your questions and be part of that. And then the following week, we will feature Zootopia, and we will have a talk back with our own Derek Nelson and Amy Astley for that. Today, our film is not a documentary, but it is based on a true story. How many of you have seen Lion? The film is an adaptation of Saru Bierley's novel, A Long Way Home. It tells the amazing and true story of the author's search as an adult for his biological family in northern India, from whom he was separated as a small child. In this first clip, we see Saru and his brother Gadu selling coal that, well, let's just say they have appropriated it from a train, and they're selling it for milk, which they take to their mother and sister.
एक दिन मैं तेरे को खरीद के दूंगा जिलेबी
पूरा दुकान खरीद लेंगे
ठीक है किधर जाओ अब किधर जाओ बाय बाय जाओ और किधर जाओ
टाई टाई
तू दूध पिएगा ना
मैं दूध लेके आया हूँ। हम्म।
सच में बोल, कहाँ से लेके आया? सही बोल। गुड्डू, मेरा सरू। चल शकीला मैं निकलती हूँ शकीला का ख्याल कौन रखेगा मेरा सरू
As a typical five-year-old, all Saru really wanted was enough money to buy some milk and some jalebis, an Indian version of funnel cakes. He begs Gadu to take him to work with him the next night, and Gadu relents. And when they arrive at the local train station, Saru can't wake up, and he crawls into an out-of-service train to sleep while Gadu, his brother, goes off to work. And it was there that his nightmare begins as the train journeys 1,600 kilometers away from his home toward Calcutta. When it arrives, Saru, who speaks only Hindi and not Bengali, the language of the city, quickly joins other lost and heartbroken street children in a quest for home and safety.
Thank you.
मेरे सच्ची में अम्मी का डोंडा।
सब जगह ढूंढा।
Suri was heartbroken that not only did he have to learn a new language and end up in an orphanage, but that they really couldn't find his mom. And he had to leave the only friend he had to go with his adoptive parents in Australia. In our gospel lesson for this morning, Jesus knows that the disciples are about to have their hearts broken by his impending arrest and crucifixion. They've been family together for 3 years. They've bonded. As adults, the disciples had chosen to leave their biological families to follow Jesus and to build God's kingdom. And in just a while, he will be gone from them. Jesus wants to prepare them so they won't be overwhelmed, but can find their way through his betrayal and crucifixion and resurrection and beyond. Jesus begins this portion of what scholars call Jesus' farewell discourse in the Gospel of John with words of comfort and an immediate call to faith. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. These are words we often hear at funerals. But in other words, Jesus is saying, don't let the pain and grief of our time apart, of our separation, cause you not to trust in God or to trust in me. Yeah, things are going to change. I'm going to go on ahead and I'm going to prepare a place for you because where I am, Jesus says, you're going to be someday too. In the meantime, don't worry. Because the Holy Spirit will be with you. And because peace I leave with you. It's my peace that I give to you. Jesus says, I don't give you as the world gives. So when you are experiencing uncertainty and change, when you are in the midst of pain and anxiety of any kind, Jesus says, know that my peace, Jesus says, is different. It's a transforming peace. It's a peace that allows us to move from whatever we're going through to hope and to love once more. It's the peace that says, hold fast to your faith in God who created you, who loves you, who weeps with you and longs to hold you and comfort you like a parent comforts a weeping child. It's a peace that I think of as God's Spirit surrounding us, enveloping us from head to toe, assuring us of God's love no matter how hurt our hearts are. No matter what happens in this life, no matter what kinds of loss we are each experiencing, for all of us here in this room, we're all going through something where we feel loss or we feel lost and alone. It's when we claim the peace that Christ gives us, the peace not of this world, but of God, then we have something to hold on to. We then claim the power of the risen Christ, and that offers us hope. Jesus tells us that just because he isn't here on earth with us physically doesn't mean we are orphans. He tells us he is coming to us day by day in ways we can't begin to imagine, helping to co-create the story of our lives with us. I read an article online this week that was written earlier this year by a clergy person who said, you know, there's something poignantly telling in Jesus' promise that he will not leave us orphaned. He's unfolding the past and the future. He's revealing his divine identity. And he's telling us something about who we are and who we are in relation to him. When Jesus says he will not leave us orphaned, he's telling us that we are the children that God wants. We are not the consolation prize that God is stuck with because things didn't work out in the Garden of Eden. No, we are the children that God wants. And a little later in the farewell discourse, Jesus will put this more clearly when he says to his friends, "You did not choose me, but I chose you. I chose you." When the adult Saru decides to look for his biological mother and family, he discovers from his adoptive mother that he has been chosen and loved by she and his adopted father just for who he is. I chose you.
Sorry you couldn't have your own kids.
What do you say?
Man, we weren't blank pages, were we? Like your own would have been. You weren't just adopting us, but our past as well. And I feel like we're killing you.
I could have had kids.
What?
We chose not to have kids. We wanted the two of you. That's what we wanted. We wanted the two of you in our lives. That's what we chose. It's one of the reasons I fell in love with you, Dad. Because we both felt that the world has enough people in it. I'm not guaranteed we were going to make anything better, but to take a child that's suffering like you boys were, give you a chance in the world, that's something.
I bet you never imagined it being this hard.
It's not a matter of hard. It's not a matter... There's only one path for me, and that's how I think. That's how this happened, because... So this is where you've been.
I didn't want you to feel I was ungrateful. There wasn't a day I didn't want to tell you.
So rude. I really hope she's dead.
Too many children and youth living on the streets worldwide. There are too many youth in the United States living on the streets, homeless, especially here in Hollywood. And each of them needs to hear how beautiful they are. Amen. Our own Mike Manning has produced a new documentary on the reality of homeless youth entitled Lost in America. And he's here to share about the realities of homelessness among youth and how we can be of service and advocacy for him. Will you welcome Mike?
Thank you. For those of you who haven't seen this, The Lion, I recommend it. It's great. I saw it on an airplane, and I cried 3 times. I told the lady next to me I was allergic to flying, and she didn't believe me. So this might start off a little off topic, but I promise I'll bring it back through. So I've been coming to HUMC I moved to LA about 7 years ago, and then Devin, who is hiding behind this pillar, who a lot of you probably know, invited me to this church. And if we're being honest, there have been some months that I've been better about coming to church, and there are some months that I haven't been. But one thing that hasn't changed in the last 6 years is how impressed I've been with this church's dedication and commitment to serving the community. I've never been a part of a church community that has been more dedicated to not only preach grace, but act on grace and to give back. And so that's why I was so happy to come here today and talk to you about another project that I'm involved with. And we'll talk more. We have our team here, and I'll point them out in a second, and we'll be, at the building the blessing bags with everybody and be able to talk about the film, which is just another example of how this church is giving back. I mean, today you're building blessing bags. My last film, An Act of Love, maybe you guys saw that. We screened it here at the church. I produced it with Pauly Perrette, and it was about the story of Reverend Frank Schaefer and the Methodist Church. And this church was very supportive, and we used that film to sort of get a conversation started. And that's what we're trying to do with this film, but in a bigger way. This film, it's called Lost in America, and it's about the story of Rotimi Rainwater. And he's a director. Now he directs scripted, unscripted film. When he was 19, he was homeless. And a few years ago, he directed a film, a scripted film, about a homeless youth. And he was touring the country at these screenings for this film. And youth would show up and would talk to him afterwards, and they would ask him how he got over being homeless. Because for so many youth, once you're in that cycle, it's so hard to break out of it. And he realized, he was homeless over 20 years ago, and he realized himself that this is a problem that hasn't gone away. In fact, it's gotten worse over the last 20 years. And so he set out to make a film. And Rotimi and Steve, if you guys will stand up right there, please. So this is our director, Rotimi Rainwater. And then Steve Vasquez Jr. is next to him. He's a producer on the film. And what they did 3 years ago, and then what I did 2.5 years ago, I signed on a couple months into it, is what we have done is we've gone to 15 different cities around the country, and we get to know youth in those cities, and we get to know why they're homeless, why they're on the streets, what it's like to be a homeless youth in that area, and what resources are available to them or not available to them if they would like to get off the streets. And then we go to Washington, D.C., and we speak with members of Congress and say, why is this such a problem? Why are there kids living on the streets? One thing that happened to me during this process with this film is I learned a few things. I learned things like, that there, according to our fine government agencies, that there are between 48,000 and over 2 million homeless youth in our country. That's a big gap. Nobody knows how many homeless youth there are. I learned that there are 5,000 youth dying every single year on our streets in America. That's 13 youth every single day that are dying, and nobody's talking about it. I learned that there are more shelters for pets in our country than there are for young people that need our help. I learned a lot of these things, and as I learned more, I became more passionate for the cause and for really getting the word out there. I realized how much that knowledge had an impact on me. And so what we're trying to do with this campaign now, we have a campaign, we're planning on releasing the film later on this year. We have a campaign called the Wake Up Campaign. And we have a series of events that we're doing to sort of wake up people to this issue, to educate them about this issue, and to show them that together we can do something. We can tell these stories, we can share the stories of these youth in the film, and we can do something about it. We can hold our government accountable. So we had an event a couple weeks ago in Nevada where Jewel sang to a youth drop-in center. She shared her story about actually being homeless. She's in the film. And then tomorrow night, Monday night, here in the parking lot of this church, we have another event. It's a candlelight vigil, and I think in your bulletins you have a little information sheet that has some candles on it. So what we have on Monday is we have a candlelight vigil, and it's going to be from 7 to about 8:15, 8:30, a quick thing. We have a few musical guests, a few guest speakers, one of them from the mayor's office. And we're just coming together to talk about the campaign, the importance of this campaign, to talk about the film, to talk about future events that we have planned in this campaign, and then to talk to you guys about how you can get involved. It's completely free, and as you know, the parking situation for any location in Hollywood is pretty stellar, so we'll have the parking lot there. And we just ask that you come and be a part of it, talk to any members of our team. We're gonna have food and snacks there and stuff. Really casual. But what we're trying to do is to really start a campaign to engage people like yourselves that have a heart for these kids, have a heart for this issue, and to get them involved with the film and this campaign. So if you have any questions, like I said, I will be after service with the blessing bags, and Rotimi and Steve will as well. And then we also will see you on Monday, if not. And then on this, it's creative@villageentertainment.com, and then it's also our website if you cannot make it but still want to find out what we're doing in Los Angeles around the film. So thank you.
I didn't look this up, but I will look it up before tomorrow night. But if I recall our last Hollywood Top 14 meeting, it was reported by one of the agencies that work primarily with homeless youth in Hollywood that the number of available shelter beds in Hollywood for youth number in the tens. Not the hundreds, the tens. Brothers and sisters, if children and youth are not to be homeless here in Hollywood, in India, or anywhere in this world, then we, as people of faith, it's incumbent upon us to live into Jesus' words, "I will not leave you orphaned. I choose you." Amen? We cannot leave our little ones, and even a 17-year-old is a little one to me. We cannot leave our little ones to fend for themselves. We are better than that. We are called to be better than that. We must be better than that for the sake of generations to come, not just those who are living on the streets now, but for our own children in this congregation who need to see each of us live into Jesus's call to care for the least and the lost in both big ways and in small ones. You know, we know in the film that Saru was technically not homeless, but he was lost, and then he was found. Mother did get to see how beautiful he is. All our children deserve to hear that they are beautiful and loved and chosen. Amen. I pray that we will commit ourselves as a congregation to be more intentional in working with homeless youth in the coming year. And in that effort, may we be relentless in our advocacy like Saru, who, when he was reunited with his biological mother, found out he'd been mispronouncing his name his entire life. It was Sheru, based on the Hindi word sher, meaning lion. Let us, my brothers and sisters, be as fierce as a lion as we go forth to protect all God's children. Amen.